Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, there is a passage of Scripture that you know well. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. But do you know what took place before those words were spoken? Nicodemus had came to Jesus at night. Nicodemus was a leading Pharisee, part of the Sanhedrin, the committee or the council of 70 in Jerusalem. He was highly respected. If you looked on the organizational chart for Judaism, he would have been ranking near the top. But Jesus could draw crowds. Nicodemus couldn't. Jesus spoke with authority and people responded. Nicodemus couldn't do that on his own. And Jesus performed all sorts of miracles. But again, Nicodemus couldn't do any signs or wonders. But Nicodemus goes to Jesus to have a chat. And Jesus tells Nicodemus these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus, perplexed, looks at Jesus and says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus talks about being born of water and the Spirit, but Nicodemus doesn't get it. And so Jesus gently chides Nicodemus that you are a teacher of Israel and you do not know this. But notice when Nicodemus goes to Jesus, it's dark outside. But why? He doesn't want any of his colleagues to know who he's going to see. This is a clandestine operation. He doesn't want anyone to know that Nicodemus, a leading Pharisee, would go to ask Jesus questions, to sit at his feet, perhaps learn a thing or two. Nicodemus was walking in the darkness, afraid to step into the light of Christ. But all that seems to change once Nicodemus spends time with Jesus. As you continue to read in the book of John, the next time Nicodemus pops up, he's sitting amongst the council of the Sanhedrin. And they're bantering about ways to silence Jesus and get rid of him. And ultimately the suggestion was made that they put him to death. And Nicodemus stands up to give Jesus defense with the words, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" To which his colleagues called him a Galilean. Not a term of endearment, a term of chastisement, embarrassment. Do you see what's happening to Nicodemus? He's beginning to take those first tentative steps into the light of Christ. I know that many of you have raised little ones, and it's fun to have Facebook to watch little James grow up, Samantha and son, and to watch those first tentative wobbly steps and his big smile on his face, and they're like Kodak moments. For Nicodemus, this is a Kodak moment. He's finally kind of stepping into the light, first tentative but hesitant steps, but we rejoice it. And then we don't see Nicodemus again until a very dark day. It's the day that you and I call Good Friday. The sun had withdrawn. And Nicodemus is there at the cross. Darkness had collapsed around Christ. There's hatred and injustice. There's greed and violence and bloodshed. There's envy. And the list of sins swirling around our Lord goes on and on and on, all collapsing in on Him. And Jesus dies in the darkness for you and for me. And there Nicodemus is, with Joseph of Arimathea to remove the body of Jesus from the cross. No longer walking in darkness in clandestine form so that no one may know. Now he cares not. He stands before the world to remove the corpse of Christ and to place him in to the tomb. Even on the darkest of days, Nicodemus is walking in the light. After this, we don't know what happens to Nicodemus. His name doesn't appear anymore in the Gospels. He simply drops out of the pages of history, but we do know what happens to Jesus. On that bright Easter morning, the sun rose, and the Son of God rose from the dead, providing victory over sin, death, and the devil. The darkness of the tomb behind him, the darkness of sin behind him, the darkness of death now collapses behind him, and Christ stands victorious in the light of his resurrection. Not only do we know what happens to Jesus, we know what happens within the world in which you and I live. You see, the darkness still swirls around us. Darkness of hatred and injustice and violence and bloodshed and greed. It's all around us. With one major difference. Once things were done in secret, today they are blatantly obvious and open for everyone to see. Watch any television program or go to any movie, and you'll be hard-pressed to find one that doesn't have content that is sinful. Get on the internet and see where the cesspool will take you. And sin is all around us. The immorality, the profanity, the abuse, and all kinds of darkness. It's become the point in our world today where it's just kind of the norm and we've become used to it. There's wickedness that you can imagine and wickedness that you could never imagine right before your eyes for everyone to see. But dear friends, it's only going to get darker and darker and darker until Christ returns in victory to judge the living and the dead. On that day when he will chase away sin, death, and the devil forever. So that God's people never have to deal with death and dying, suffering, pain and sorrow and darkness. I find it interesting, in spite of all the swirling darkness that's all around us, the words in that Jesus proclaims to us is that you are the light of the world. You and I are the light of the world to shine in the midst of darkness. We are resurrection people. We are people of the cross forgiven by Christ's blood. We are a new creation. But that's not all God's word has to say. In fact, earlier in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he wrote to those Christians there to say these words, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of the world. We all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." In our text today, Paul doubles down to say these words, "At one time, you were darkness." And then the conjunction, but now you are children of light. In other words, you once were dead, but through Christ today you are alive. You were once in darkness and darkness consumed you. Now you are children of light. The switch has been flipped. There's a new day dawning. Several years ago in the Peanuts strip, you know, Lucy had that propensity when Charlie Brown's going to kick the football, that the very, very last moment when his leg is swinging forward at full speed, because Charlie runs to the ball, right? And he's going to kick it really hard. She'll pull it out at the last minute, and Charlie Brown goes flying to his back, and he lands flat on his back. You know, Charlie Brown might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but Charlie Brown, after a while, kind of caught on. And he says, every time I try to kick the ball, you remove it and I fall flat on my back. Well, they go back and forth for the longest time as Lucy tries to convince him to let her hold the ball. And finally, she breaks down in tears and admits these words. Charlie Brown, I have been so terrible to you over the years, picking up the football like I have. I have played so many cruel tricks on you, but I've seen the error of my ways. I've seen the hurt look in your eyes when I've deceived you. I've been wrong, so wrong. Won't you give a poor, penitent girl another chance? Charlie says, of course I'll give you another chance. And he takes his steps back. And he gets a full head of steam up and he swings at the ball and she pulls the football out and he lands flat on his back. Lucy says, recognizing your faults and actually changing your ways are two different things, Charlie Brown. Martin Luther put in his first of his 95 theses on the chapel door in Wittenberg these words. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, He willed that the entire life of a believer be one of repentance. Turning away. Changing course. No longer walking in the darkness and being consumed by it, by stepping out of the darkness into the light to be the children of God. But what does it look like? God's word says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let's look at just one of the characters of the light that is defined here, the word kindness. Have you ever seen that bumper sticker that says, practice random acts of kindness? Sounds kind of cool, doesn't it? But that's not what Paul had in mind when he said to walk as children of the light. For you and me to walk in the light is not a random thing, but it's an everyday thing. You and I should be at home in the light wanting to walk in it. To be children of light is to live different than the world in which we live in. Walking as children of light means that we live at home in it. Every single day, not randomly. Let me give you an example from kindness. A show of hands, how many people like to go out for dinner? By the way, thanks for the meal last night, Daryl and Judy. Do we like to go out for dinner? We like to go out to a restaurant. Okay, some of you are not telling me the truth, but that's okay. How many of you ever worked in the food industry, perhaps as a server? Anyone ever done that? Now, although the wages vary from place to place, and I'm going to use $3.50, and that's pretty generous in our day and age for a server, right? $3.50 plus tips. And so therefore, a server works from the kindness and the generosity of those to which he or she serves. Right? Because the $3.50 is kind of consumed by taxes. And so what does it mean to walk in kindness? Let me tell you one thing for sure, that a waitress sees who leaves tips and who doesn't. A waitress notices who treats her with kindness and who doesn't. A waitress notices how you leave the table when you leave the restaurant. Is it just a complete mess or is it kind of organized? The waitress recognizes if you pray or not before you eat. And dear friends, it's a good thing to pray in public to let your light shine. And that's only a start as a walk in kindness. Leaving your table for it to be easily picked up by the busboy is an act of kindness. Leaving a generous tip to the server who has waited upon you hand and foot is an act of kindness. From when we walk in light of kindness, it's never random. It's something that you and I do every single day throughout the day. It's a part of who we are as forgiven people of God. Not only in the big things of taking the body of Christ on the cross as Nicodemus did, but in the really small things that no one else but maybe one person sees, simply being generous as we tip our server as they faithfully served you and me as an act of kindness. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you and I are children of the light, and we walk as children of the light, and we are home, at home within the light. All the things that you and I think and say and do should be formed by who we are as children of God. Whether it's helping other people in need or simply an act of kindness to someone who needs it. Why do we do it? Because of Jesus. Because of the act of kindness He had for you and me to suffer and die in our place for all the times we're not the kindest person in the world. For all the times we're very irritable and we're disrespectful to other people, Jesus Christ suffers and dies. But because of His suffering and death, we have new hope. That's why I picked the song I did for today. I was really hoping that Vic had the music for it and we even had violin playing along. But this little light of mine, I'm not going to hide under a bushel. Why? Because I want my light to shine before other people so that God's glory may be revealed. I'm going to let my light shine in my neighborhood so those around me know who I am in Christ, that they too may ask the question, why is he or she different? Why do they have hope in the mess of their life where evil swirls around them? What makes them so different? I'm going to let my light shine and not let Satan blow it out, because darkness continues to swirl around us and collapse in upon us, but the light of the gospel shines brightly. So therefore, as you leave this place, I hope the words of that little child's hymn, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We're going to let it shine till Jesus comes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.